Genesis 3:22, and the Lord God said, "Behold, now man has become as one of us to know good and evil." Then he goes on to say, "Lest he put forth his hand and partake of the tree of life and live forever." I referred to this the other night, and it's a very strange scripture because you wonder why that he said it like he did. And then he said, "Lest he put forth his hand, partake of the tree of life and live forever," and that's all it says. It doesn't say anything about what will happen if you don't. So tonight, as much as I didn't get to comment the other night on these particular things, I thought maybe tonight I might comment a little bit. Just all depends. I don't like to say that I will because I've been so disappointed in saying that and not been able to do it. But anyway, I'd like to. The other night I was telling about a couple of little twins that got drowned, and I really didn't know how they got drowned. I understood from somebody that one thing had happened, and then I think eventually they told me that they were standing on a reef and maybe a wave from a boat come by, and the mother had turned around just for a few minutes, walked to the car, left them by themselves, and the wave washed one of them off the reef, and the other little one reached for that one that was washed off, whether the boy to the girl or the girl to the boy, I don't know, but in that happened, it pulled the other one in, and they both went over something that was about, I understand, about 15 feet as to where the water fell and drowned the little fellas. It was a real tragedy. And yet the Lord allows those things a lot of times. It's like the saying that I've heard since I was a boy, that sometimes God will take the little lamb over the stream to get the sheep to follow. Sheep are real touchy about water, and you can't hardly get them to cross the stream unless everything is real still and gentle. They can see the clearness of the stream. And sometimes God takes the little one over, because when the little one goes over, the others will follow. I remember seeing a film years ago when I was in Africa, and this film was on like the wild buffaloes or the water buffaloes that they had. It was a real odd kind of animal, a little different from what you think in your mind. Herds of them, thousands of them, just run all the time. They'd run in herds and just run fiercely at certain times of season. And they'd come to a huge river, and they'd go across. And most likely they'd get across safe, as to the ones that was the older animals. But then when they would realize the little ones was not there, they would turn again and go back and try the second time to get them over. And then it showed on the film how that down the stream and along the banks, that looked like hundreds of them, just multitudes of them, was killed and drowned, you know, in the waters as the rushing water killed them, drowned them, and took them on down and washed them over to the bank because they kept trying to get their little ones. And maybe we're still seeing some of that in the little twins. I remember Brother Jimmy Kirk was telling me about a dream I believe he had. And in the dream he saw as to the little one being taken over, that it was an angel that God had sent. And indeed they are, because Jesus said, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. For I say unto you that their angel doth always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." It just come to my mind to kind of correct that as to what I said, because a lot of times I tell things up here and I do it out of the integrity of my heart because somebody tells me. And even the newspaper, I can't even go by what the newspapers say, because the newspapers are so much after sensation that they want the story first, and they'll half write it and half tell it. And then in the next newspaper, as to some other newspaper, it will come out and it will be different. And they just always have it topsy-turvy. And when somebody tells you something, it goes through a grapevine. And when it goes through the grapevine, it's just added. Something's added to it. They've proven that if they tell something precisely to one individual and then run it through about four or five individuals, that it's always different. So I just thought I'd try to correct that. There's so many things on tape that I make mention of like this that people relate to me. And then I find out that they don't have the story just right, so it makes it real difficult. I have to go back and ask them to correct it on the tape. So I have to depend on the ones in the taping room to consider what I say and check those tapes out. All right, now I'm just going to talk to a few minutes. I don't know how to talk to you. It's like I was telling somebody today. I was talking to some of the brethren over earlier and today, and then some later. And I'm always talking to a group of brethren somewhere. And in this, the Lord is always bringing forth the revelation. And I was trying to explain to them why I have such a difficulty in the church to minister the revelation of Christ. They marvel sometimes because I so freely minister to the groups. But one of the things, as I've told you so many times, the time element is involved. Another thing, the people expect a different thing. They want to come to church, and they want to feel the Spirit of God, and they want to be blessed, and they want to sing some, and then they want to go home. So that's another reason I can't do it. And then I have a mixed group. It's like a mother preparing a meal, trying to get a little bit of milk and trying to get a little bit of meat, trying to put a little bit of whatever it might be on the table. I find that in the groups, just like Jesus ministered to them out of the sanctuary, when he could not minister to them in the sanctuary, it was usually out of the sanctuary and in groups. And I find that one group will come and I can kind of discern the spirit out a little bit and tell that they need milk because they're babies. And then a group will come and I can kind of discern a little and tell that they need some meat. And then another will come and I discern and tell that what they need is just a little fellowship and just a little discussion about the religious side of life or something to encourage their faith. So the Lord does that. He'll just let me talk to one little group and then another little group, and he'll group them up and send this group and send that group, and eventually we get around to them. So in doing this, it helped me to be able to keep my bearings as to understand why that I have the problems that I have here in the church. So when I come up here and I'm not able to do what you think perhaps I should do, don't be disappointed. Just always say, Lord, make me hungry. Make me thirsty. Let me hunger and thirst after the things of God. And then in doing that, God will stir your heart and he will cause you to hunger and thirst. And then you may be responsible for somebody else that's thirsty that they should get a drink. And when one member suffers, they all suffer. When one rejoices, they all rejoice. So if you come to church expecting nothing, then you get nothing. If you come to church expecting something, then you get something. If you come to church expecting the preacher to talk to you, then he talks to you. If you come to church expecting God Almighty to speak to you as a reverence and a respect of the Christ within the heart, is believing that the great supernatural God is there, you can get healing. You can get a word from God. You can get a revelation. You can get great things. But just according to your faith, Jesus said, so be it unto you. Whatever you would like to have, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever you'd like to have. I tried to express this the other night, that God is a spirit. He presents himself to you in the form of a word or a thought. And he is to you just exactly what you believe him to be. He is no more than what you believe. You might say, well, I'm a Christian and I know God's going to do great things for me. But he is going to be to you only according to your believing. Just exactly what you believe him to be to you, that's what you're going to be. So you can be one Christian over here and another Christian over here. And this Christian over here can be drinking from the fountain of God, having all of his needs met and having his body healed, while this Christian over here is going through a crisis because they are not staying prayed up, they are not staying concerned about God, and they don't have the spiritual faith and drive for God to the extent this their faith is not stimulated to draw the blessings of Christ. So then one may be getting all the good things and one may not be getting them. Now you can't blame God with that. You know, people in the world are so naive concerning things and they are so unreasonable. They go through life, and because they don't have the good things or they don't have what somebody else has, they get all pressed out of measure. And they feel like God is being partial and God's done something for this one that he didn't do for them. And that this one has health and they don't have health. And this one has prosperity and this one doesn't have prosperity. And that God has done something for this people or this race and he hasn't done it for this people or this race. Or has done it for this nation and has not done it for another nation. And so they accuse God. They never cease to accuse God. They never cease to find fault with God. But here God is, and he's no respecter of person. And he's abundantly give grace. He's abundantly give his blessing. He's abundantly said, I've given you all things that pertain unto life. He has abundantly presented himself in the form of salvation, in the form of healing, to the extent of letting the blood run out of his hands for every individual, without respect of person, without respect of races, without respect of nation, without respect of male or female, and has given to you the very life out of his veins, and said, according to your believing, I have told you the word of faith. I have told you the word of promise. Now you have it. It's the same to 1,000 generations, and it's never changed. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says, according to your believing, and because you are careless and you don't apply yourself, or you are unreasonable and you can't be reasoned with, or because you've got your ambition and your drive in life and you're going to do your thing in life irregardless to what you're told or what the minister preaches to you, your program is still there, that you're going to do what you want to do. And because of that, then you don't get what the minister said you could have, because you aren't lined up right and you won't line up right, and your minds won't get in harmony with God nor line up with the Spirit through the ministry. And then you say, I am not treated right. Why is it with someone else the better and with me the worse? And so then you go on down life's road finding fault with God and always having problems, all because of your mind not being programmed right. And all because of your self-will and your rebellion and your desire to do your thing, and because you're set in your ways, and that no matter what anyone tells you, you're still going to go back to the same rut of living, or the same mannerism of living, or the same things that you've always done. It's a practice, it's a nature. Like scientists say, after you're about 25 years old, you can't change. After about 25 years old, a person's set in their ways. If you don't bend the twig while it's young, if you don't get somebody in line before they get about 25 years old, they become routinists. And they just go on in the same rut, no matter what you tell them. They just go on in the same rut. They come and they listen for hours. And they go back out, and then they're in the same old thing. They go right back to the same lifestyle, the same mode of eating and drinking and buying and selling and visiting and riding and seeing. Their lives pretty much are the same every day, like the old Indian death walk of walking around in the circle until finally they die. Well, it doesn't sound very exciting, does it? But anyway, this is the reason that I'm not able to bring what I'd like to bring a lot of times. And this is why that outside of the services I do bring things, because it is not I that bringeth these things. Whereas the Bible said, and it's not I that speaketh, but it's God that speaketh from within me, and we're the temples of God. And he that God sendeth will speak God's word. And he that believeth on this word as to the prophets of God or the ministry of God shall be blessed in their deeds. So then when I talk with these different groups that come, they will come as 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, whatever, and they will sit down before me, and they will sit down about like this. Or they will sit there and cross their arms and just sit there and just look right straight at me, just concentrating. No matter what I say, I can start talking, and I can talk about 10 minutes straight along, and then I'll stop so that they'll talk. They'll just sit there and look at me just like that. And I know that they could talk because I hear them talking everywhere. But when they know God is talking, they'll sit right there. And they'll sit just like they're starving to death. And the Lord will talk, and he will talk, and he will talk. And when we come to church, we come as to a nonchalant sort of a thing. We just come in and say, this is church time. We're going to sit down and relax, like hear what the man's got to say. And we sit there and we don't concentrate on nothing. We're making no effort toward anything. God is a spirit. And like the vision I saw, when the word of God comes out and it starts out, there's something that emanates from you and turns the word. And that's your own natural way of life and your own natural spirit and your own natural disposition and your attitudes. See, so when you come into the church, you have a charge from God. It says, enter into these gates with thanksgiving. Well, somebody would say, but Brother Pike, I come into the church in a decent manner. I come into the church reverently. It didn't say just come into the church reverently. It didn't say just come into the church in a decent manner. Even though it did say know how to conduct yourself in the presence of the Almighty God. And when you enter in, be sure that you understand that you should be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools of your own opinion as to your thoughts and words. See, but it said enter into the gates with thanksgiving. Or if I was standing here and you started into the door, I would say, folks, lift your hands. Say hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, come on in, hallelujah, glory to God. Now that isn't the way to do it, is it? But I'm giving you some idea. When you come to that door and you start in, something on the inside should be saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Lord, clear my mind, Lord, let me worship, Father, let me hear from heaven, Father, speak through the man of God tonight, speak through the church tonight, move by the Spirit tonight, oh, hallelujah, Lord, help me, Father, help me to be holy, help me to be godly, and the whole time that we're in there, we should be meditating in his laws, praising God, and the thing is, when we go out of here, we should remain the same all day long, whereas I know you're not going to do it. But I'm just giving you some idea. Enter my gates with thanksgiving. Come into my courts with praise. And then when you do this, God begins to move because God is a spirit. I'm not a spirit only in the sense that I've been born again and God has made me a quickening spirit. You're not a spirit only in the sense that you're born again and God has made you a quickening spirit, which means that your body is by foreknowledge a quickening spirit and someday will change into a quickening spirit. But right now, you're a natural person. And even though God doesn't see you as a natural person because the body's dead but Calvary, he sees you as a quickening spirit, not as the birth of the first man Adam, but as the resurrection of the second man Adam, who was made a quickening spirit, and that is at the right hand of the Father, and he doesn't see you in this world anymore. So then he's cut that part of you off. He's killed that part of you. He hates that part of you. That part of you must cease. As I was telling him today, that part of you must cease. You must come to the place to where you realize that God's program is not just to do better or to quit chewing and dipping or quit saying a few little words or try to live better or whatever. That's not the program of God. It's not some kind of disciplinary thing to where you get in line and into a ritualistic or some kind of religious indoctrination that has nothing to do with it whatsoever. It isn't just coming and saying, well, I'm going to bleed. It isn't just listening to the preacher and saying, well, I'm going to bleed. But it is in dying, and that dying is you. And that dying means you must die altogether. You must die completely. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Not to admire this body, not to build this body up, not to put this body out front, not to admire the body and the face and try to always do something nice and pretty for the body and plan its program and education and all the ways of life. That's Satan. That's the world. That's the love of the world. That's the love of the body. See, Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, of the body. All of the plans is of the body. All of the natural things is of the body. You know, I say this so often. I preach up here and I say, folks, let's get away from all the natural institutions of learning and these kind of things and get our minds on faith. And again, I say to you, as I said to somebody this morning, folks look at me and they say, well, I just can't get this together. Brother Pike looks like an intelligent man to me. He's been preaching for years. Why does he do that? Doesn't he know that that makes him look cheap? Doesn't he know that that makes him look unintelligent? And when he could have all of these great, intelligent people believing and following him and have these followers and all the money behind him, doesn't he know that? Yeah, I know that. I know that. So it's not like I'm saying something that I don't know. I know that. I don't want that. I don't desire that. I told you that's why I wrote the song. I thought it over and I changed my mind. Those things were open to me. God said to me, he said, the body, that body that's born into this world, I remind you again, has the poison of asp under its lips, and its tongue is full of deceit, and its eyes are filled with misery and destruction, and its feet are swift to run blood, and all of this flesh is corrupt, and every thought is corrupt. And God looked down from heaven and saw the thoughts of mankind, that they were continually evil. And he said that we are to get rid of it. We are to kill the body. That I despise that image. I despise that image. He said, in the morning I will hate your image. And Calvary was the morning of the dawning of the light and the new body and the resurrection. And he said, and I will hate your image. And even though God hath not yet brought to pass as to what Calvary did in devastating the whole world, it is brought to pass in the last week of Daniel when the church gets out of here. And the only thing that's keeping the devastation from them is we who are reflecting the mercies of God and the blood being on the seat of atonement for you and I is protecting those out there just like Judas was protected until God gave him the sop. I know these things, but I'm telling you, as I've said before, it is the institutions of learning, that is the power and the kingdom of Lucifer. And these things are institutions of knowledge. They are institutions of knowledge. You go there to get knowledge. You go there to understand knowledge of the world. And they teach you all about the electronics. And they teach you all about the world. And they teach you all about everything in the world. See, and all about the human body. And this is what they do. That is knowledge. That is the tree of knowledge. Wasn't it the tree of knowledge that caused death in the garden? Wasn't it the tree of knowledge that started the whole thing? Isn't it today still the tree of knowledge? And I say again, the law of God that bringeth sin to the extent that sin gets its strength by the law, that this law is enforced by badges and by guns, and that the tree of knowledge is protected by this enforcement, and that they force you to the tree of knowledge even from the time that you are a child. Does God work through force? Does God make you do that? Didn't God go to great extremes to give you your sovereignty? When Adam and Eve was like little children that didn't know their left hand from their right, he still gave them their sovereignty and didn't force them into anything. Now, is it a true fact that that's where you go to get knowledge? If I'm wrong, then why not tell me? Why not have somebody to stand up in the audience and say, Brother Pike, you're wrong. You don't get knowledge from colleges and schools. And tell me what you do get. And if I'm right, then acknowledge what I say. And say, Brother Pike, you're right. That's what you do. You go there to learn to know. Is that right? So that you will know. And what does the word know indicate? Knowledge. That's where knowledge comes from, is to know. So you go there. So then we're right back where we started at the old tree of knowledge. And look what it's done to the world with all of its diplomacies, all of its learning. Somebody says, but Brother Pike, don't you realize that from this we have gotten all of our modern inventions and all of these securities of today? I certainly do not. The Bible says that you can receive nothing save it be given you of God. And even when they come into the new world that they called America, they didn't discover anything. Somebody says in the book they discovered electricity. They discovered electricity, all right, by God giving it to them. Somebody said, but all this great scientific thing, a great scientific thing, because a kid can fly a kite and tie a string on the, put a key on the string, and that was a great scientific thing. Well, even an ignorant person could have done that. God did that. He did it through the foolish and abased thing and brought the electrical forces into the world. And it is said that one lightning bolt gives off enough electricity to light a whole city. And it is also said that one lightning bolt can reach 7 miles. Now, what does that mean? I told you before in simplicity that that little kite with the two sticks indicated Calvary. And the lightning was where Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And as to the key, going back to the key, Peter, I give you the key as to the opening of the door, as to the rent veil. And going back to the keys of the bottomless pit and all these kind of things, it was done with a key. Or it was done with something similar to a key. And it was done to pick up the vibrance. See, and ever since that time, we have light in the world. Now, somebody would say, well, what does that have to do with it? You would be shocked at what that has to do with it. Being carnally minded, if I say it, you're not going to be able to even to understand it. If I talk about it, you're not going to be able to understand it. That's why Paul said I would that it was spiritual. Said because the things that are spiritual, the things of God are foolishness to your natural mind. And you could never know them, blinded by the ignorance within you of the intellectual reasoning of the old tree of knowledge. It's called darkness. So then to tell you about it, could you understand it? Would you understand it? We're not applying ourselves. How could we understand and not apply ourselves? We're not applying. Somebody said, but I am applying myself to do what you want to do, to make your plans, to go where you want to go, to have what you want, to plan and do your thing. I tell you, that isn't the way. And I remind you again, it's very difficult just to get this one little lesson over. And you say, well, what are you talking about, Brother Pike? I'm saying that any time you think one thought, I don't care religiously or whatever it is, any time you think one thought, you're already out of harmony with God. You're still you. You're still the natural you. You're still doing the natural thing, no matter what your program and plan is. This thing of God has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with us. You can't get better. You can't join the church. You can't say, I believe. You can't repent and come to God. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They're given by foreknowledge. You don't seek God and find God or make a decision in your life that you're going to come to God. The Bible said, you've not sought me, I've sought you. I come to seek and to save that which was lost. So then that means that you can do one thing. And what is that? And that is fall on your face in repentance and accept the fact that you're dead by the body of Jesus Christ and kill that body. Because if you're dead by the body of Jesus Christ, that's not a make-believe. He killed you when he killed Jesus. That's what it all was about. That's why he did it. Adam sinned. The Shekinah departed from Adam. And in Adam all die. And God intended to kill Adam and all of his seed. And he did. 4,000 years he tolerated them. And then he killed every last one of them. And even though you've not seen it come to pass, when the 7 years come back to the 483 years of Daniel, you're going to see it right back to Calvary, and you're going to see God cut down the vine and take all of the world to the valley of Armageddon as to the great armies and powers, and the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle when he says, time no more, cut down the vine and gather it to the winepress of Almighty God. And the Bible said he trod the winepress without the city and he trotted along. So Paul said, who shall deliver me from this Adam image? Who shall deliver me from this body that has the poison of asp under the tongue? For I see in my body a contrariness. And though on the inside through my new birth I would do good because I'm a spiritual being. I'm an angelic being. Christ's spirit is in me. By foreknowledge, God called me from my mother's womb and ordained me that I should be in his stead here and that Christ should be shown forth in my life through my suffering. And here Paul is telling us that this body is a body of death. And he's appointed unto suffering. 5 times at the whipping post, 3 times with the rod, stoned and left from dead, shipwrecked in the sea, thrown into prison, mistreated, hungry, all kind of things to kill the bodily image of Lucifer that it might be Christ living and not that of the first man Adam. And so then, who shall deliver me from this thing? For he said, inwardly I have a desire to do good. But in my members I see another law, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this wretched man? Jesus said, wretched, naked, and blind. I counsel of you to buy of me raiment tried in the fire, or that is, be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, and put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. For as many as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he said to Paul, go down to the street called Straight. You are the elite among the people, Paul, and yet you're blind and don't know it. And you're persecuting me, and you're persecuting the church. And you're very religious, and you've got all the answers, Paul. And you're supposed to be the elite of the elite. But it doesn't make any difference, Paul, if you are religious, you're still blind. Why persecute thou me, Saul? And he said, who art thou? He said, I'm the Lord that thou persecutest. So then he said, go down to the street called Straight, because when Paul saw the light, the light showed that he was blind. It showed that there was a veil over his face. And that's why later he preached the revelation, saying that this veil has hid the Shekinah, and the veil must be rent by Calvary, that the Shekinah might break through. For they of the Old Testament could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, whereas the veil was over Moses' face, which meant all of his followers. So then the law and sin getting its strength by the law, and thus the veil was. He said, what is this that was ordained unto life that I find to be unto death? Though the law is spiritual, I'm carnal, sold unto sin. I cannot perform it. And he said, and I was alive without the law. But when all these do's and don'ts as to commandments came, it killed me because I found a guilt that I transgressed, that I'd done these things. And he said, it wasn't my desire to do these things, but being carnal, sold unto sin. He said, I'm carnal. The law is spiritual and pure and good, but I'm carnal and I can't perform it. So what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh and nailed it to Calvary, taking it out of the way that everyone that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, putting on the garment that passed through the fires of the flames of hell. Jesus said, I counsel of you to bring me that kind of garment. In the garden, he put them on garments. He put them on, that is, when he brought the expulsion, and he clothed them with skins. And as to a beast, they are. But there comes a day when he kills the beast at Calvary. And there comes a day when he unveils that. And there comes a day when he tells you that you are now unveiled. You are a spiritual, angelic being. You've been unveiled. Your veil has been rent in twain. And your spirit has been separated from your body. And your body is dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. And that God has frowned on it and killed it and forever done away with it. And that he despises that image. It's the serpent image. And that he has put it away forever. And the law has no more power over you because that's not your body. You're now a new creature in a new world. A flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And where is this flesh and where is this bone? It's at the right hand of the Father. It's at the right hand. That head coming forth from the Libyus, which was the rent veil of Calvary. From that time, the physicians working with the membership of that little body has worked all down through the church ages. And as the revelation has come, they looked at the little shoulders as it came forth. After the head had been raptured up, caught up into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, having broke through the spheres of the Libyus of this world. And then as to the angelic host, as to the ministry, working to bring forth the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that the travail of the woman is to the extent that nobody can help until that headship is broken through the Libyus. And then from there, the little shoulders exposed. Then the little hands exposed. And in every generation, another part of the body and another part of the body. And another generation and another part of the body. And very patiently, the ministry worked. So when we look at this, it makes us to understand why the church has not been translated. It makes us understand why the church has not been changed. It makes us to understand that all of these ministers out yonder that we're talking about, though they are doing a work as to the birth of the little child, die in travail, she brought forth the sons and daughters. And Paul said, I travail till he be formed within you to where he can come forth to a birth. So then in this, they have not raptured the church. They have not perfected the faith of the church, because the little expose of the body is not until the great finale at the end of the church ages, and the last thing that's seen is the little feet of the 10 toes. And when that last generation comes, all of these that have preached in part, all of these that have known in part, all of these that have preached the gospel into repentance or to catch the attention of the people to turn them toward religious things, many of them have died, and generations have died, and they've gone on. And coming down to the last generation, only a few of the last generation will make the translation, because it's going to be a sinful, adulterous generation. So when coming to the little flock, finally the last comes, finally compounding the understanding as to seeing the shoulders and the little belly and the little thighs and the little legs and on down to the little feet. Finally, when the little one is finally born, it's swallowed. It's immediately at its birth, the Bible said in Revelation 12, it's caught up to the throne. That quick. Just as quick as the last generation comes, the rapture takes place. And the man-child goes to the throne. Because it's caught up just at the finishing of the church ages. And it's no more in part, but every generation is looking at the compound knowledge of another. Just like in the natural, you see this. As back there, they were very primitive in the Stone Age. And then they've compound their knowledge until their great brilliance of today. So then when we see this, we realize that we're living in the last days now. And we're living in the last generations. And we realize the expose as to the finishing of the mysteries is here. And that any time the man-child can go up to the throne. Because with just a few things. And after a while, the entire expose will be there. And the whole thing is seen like the sun coming in as to a sevenfold light. Well, anyway, this is the thing. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. Thou shalt not surely die. Canst thou not eat of all the trees in the garden? Didn't God tell you that you could eat of all the trees in the garden? And she said, all of the trees, except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We cannot eat of that. Said the day that we eat thereof, we shall surely die. And he said, ye shall not surely die. The Bible said he is a liar. He is the father of a liar. That's where your lie got started. He was the one that brought it to pass. Being contrary to what God said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Though Eve did not die immediately, because she had to take it to Adam, because the Shekinah covering of his glory was over Adam. And Adam was made for the glory of God. And Eve was just given as to show us what Adam was to the Spirit, as to what she was to Adam. And what would happen between them as the iniquity between Eve and Adam was what was going to happen in that we could not see in the Spirit, as the iniquity between the body and the Spirit, which was God and Adam. So then when this come to Adam, and Adam partook, when Eve persuaded him, he immediately died. Because immediately the Shekinah glory of God, which was life, left him. And from that day on, he was dead. Dead to God and dead to life. Dead in trespasses and sin. And then the light went away and the garden went away and all of the beauties and the goodies went away. And he found himself among the briars. Jesus came all the way to Calvary to restore that Shekinah. And to have pity on the woman, in that Adam was the woman, Eve. And he came to have pity. A living soul, he went to Calvary and he died as a living soul. So that we would not have to die and exchange places with us. So that we could be the quickening spirit in the sight of God and live forever. And he took our bad that we might take his good. And he took our sins and took our sickness that we might take salvation and take his health. And that we might have the blessings and be the apple of God's eye while he was the despised one and dying out of the presence of God and being rejected forever and done away with completely. Then we live in the presence of God forever and forever as the resurrected one. So then God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. The world was condemned already. But he sent his Son into the world to save the world. So then we know that he so loved the world that he gave his Son to save the world, to redeem it back to the virtue of the garden, to bring it back to the millennium or into the millennium for restoration of the things that have been lost, that he might glorify it later and bring it to a celestial glory forever and ever. This means that Jesus did all of it. When Adam failed, having subjected him to vanity, he headed it off at Calvary, and God made a body and come, took all the punishment. And he said, it's finished. Now you're right back where you started. All you got to do is believe. And the Shekinah this time is not an illumination except by the grace and the blood on the seat of atonement to all people to give you a chance to be in this heavenly place and to learn and to see. But it is with you that believe as in you, for he shall be in you as that wonderful everlasting life, that fountain springing up inwardly into eternal life, and that this Shekinah, it will come through your heart and through your mind and through your spirit and transformate your mind as a child forming as a new world, a new mind, that old things will pass away and you'll be a new creature and you'll have a new spirit and a new heart and you'll be in a new world and old things will never be remembered again as to your trespasses and former things will not be remembered and you're to get rid of your mind and put it down and every day work toward this as putting the body down, getting rid of the body, completely eradicating the body because the body is the bastard child image. It is that thing of the serpent with poison under his tongue and God doesn't want it. He wants it eradicated and he wants the world eradicated. He wants all in it eradicated. So somebody said, well, this ain't the religion I believe in. I believe that God is the God of this world, and God made this world, and God made us, and God wants us to prosper, and God wants us to be in health, and God wants us to do our thing, and God wants us to have cars, God wants us to have this, and God wants us to have money, and that's your way of seeing it. But I'm telling you the way the Bible teaches it. I'm telling you that God tells you in the word that the world is vanity and all that is in it is vanity and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and that all of it shall pass away and there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness with a new creature and that God has so taken your body that it is dead by the body of the Lord Jesus and being the purchased possession covered it with blood. So Satan cannot get to it because the dispute is over the body. And at the time of the end of the church ages, will present it to you as that of the headship that's coming forth to the membership when the birth of the travail of the church is finished. And I'm telling you that Christ has come on the inside of you, that spiritual Christ, and your spirit is now dead as to that spirit within you that lusteth unto envy. God has killed that thing with his spirit by interweaving his spirit and his desire into your spirit and eradicating all the filtration of the flesh and the filth of the flesh and is gradually transformating your mind from a tiny seedling as to a transformating of the mind from glory to glory, from faith to faith, till he fixes a channel of release as through this coming from the inner man in the heart to hit the target. Just like I would have a rifle, they put within the barrel of a gun a rifle or that which spins the bullet, because if they hit the bullet here and they release this as to that of the cartridge from the shell and it goes out through there, if it doesn't spin, then it won't go straight. So it can't just come straight out. It's liable to go either way. But when it spins, it gets just right going down the barrel and it gets in line. And when it comes out, it still holds that straight to the target. And God has so fixed your mind like this That though the power is on the inside and the explosion of the drive is on the inside, and this is following the rifle of your thought, and everything has to be in line to get that thing just right to where it'll hit its target and won't go off course. And then when it hits the target, this heavenly treasure that's already within your vessels, as your earthen vessels, must be made manifest in your mortal genes, for the target is the body, and it must come out as glory to glory and faith to faith until it strikes that perverted image on the outside, and then it's all gone, and it's like the sun shining within your strength, and you outshine the brightness of the noonday as stars forever and ever you shine. So then God has done this thing. And he said to the man in the garden, now you've become as one of us. For Satan has said, God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. And so it was. Now they become as gods, because God had intended to make Adam God. And he had intended to do it through the tree of life. But it had to go by the tree of knowledge as to the woman, the weakest species, before the quickening spirit of the second man, Adam, could come and be translated into the kingdom. It had to be a natural earthly kingdom and taken from the dust through the process. And so then, when this happened, he said, now man has become as one of us. He is now God. That is, Adam was to be God. And Satan knew that he was made to be the body of the Spirit. And so the dispute is over the body. So he got between God and the body, which is the woman of the reproduction, as to the glory of God, which is the feminine as to God, whereas woman is feminine to you, and your glory is to reproduction. We are to God as a body, a people. We are the feminine, and we conceive of God, the great Word, and we bring forth the wonderful life of Christ, and Christ is formed within you and I. And that's the inheritance as to a child. So, no Spirit of Christ, no child. No conception, no reward of eternal life. None of the good things of God. So, when we see this, Adam did become God, as I've said so many times. He become the God of Lucifer. He become the one of sin. He become so that in him all die. He become the generation of vipers. He become that is called the worm. Because the Shekinah image of being the Son of God, that Son of God image, that Shekinah left him. Because Adam sinned against God. No, the Bible said he was not in the transgression, and he was not in the original transgression. It was by Eve. But because it's charged to the male and not the female, the Bible said because of the sins of Adam, all are dead. Because of the sins of Adam, all die, and Jesus had to come and die to take our place in death, that there might be a new Adam as to a quickening spirit of the second man Adam, that we might live again and come forth as a new creature. And until you get that little blood cell and that seed of the great Holy Spirit in your heart, even as Mary got it in her womb, then you don't have anything. All of your brilliance, all of your thinking, all of your mind, all of your endeavors, all of your life, all of your birth is still your conglomeration of thought. It's still the carnal mind that's imitated of God, whether religious or whatever. And there's only one thing that can be. That has to die. And then there has to come forth a little seeding of a germatizing of the great Holy Spirit in your heart as the germ of life in types. And it must come forth on the inside, and from that a little tiny baby and your first thoughts. And from that you begin to grow, and that's where your mind comes from. And that's where your thoughts come from. And as you grow up, this is what moves you, and this is what tells you, and this is what directs you, and you're led by the Spirit of God. So all of your learning and all of your study and all of these other things that you do don't make you nothing. See, it's got to be the slow process of time as to the mother carrying the child, or this on the inside as to the communication of your heart. The Bible said it's concerning the head, in the last days they'll be heady, educational, experienced in mind, looking for great things, riches, and high places. He said, but God is looking for hearty people. And He is searching the heart and going throughout the earth to see about those that are upright in heart, to show Himself strong in their behalf, and to go into their heart and to go into their bloodstream and change their blood cell and start this little seedling to bring forth life as a new child. So if you don't die as what you are, you'll never be this new birth of this new child in this new world, because it starts with a little seedling as to a conception of faith as the minister preaches the gospel. Did not our words go to the ends of the earth, but who have believed our report? And so then to conceive of the word, then you've got your first step in God as to His Spirit. And that's the new birth. The seed, if I plant a seed as to an oak tree, I can boast by faith if it's a good seed, if it's in good fertile soil, I can boast that I'll have an oak tree in the shade. If I put in a fruit seed, I can boast that I'll have a fruit tree, and I can say, I promise you that I'll be eating fruit off of this tree, because my act of faith toward taking care of this tree and believing it's going to give me fruit will work, because the tree is in the little seed. And the seedling on the inside of you is all that you are. That's all that you are in the sight of God. And you need to get back to that thing and quit thinking so highly of yourself, and think soberly according to the measure of faith that's dealt unto you, that comes from that word seed on the inside as it presents itself in the form of revelation or the mind of the Spirit as to the Spirit word of life. See, and stop your planning and your program, because otherwise you're never going to be anything but just a problem. So then, you that have been with us a long time, and you that have been in this a long time, the babe should have formed at least some in your wound by now. And you should be coming along pretty good. And when that wound is filled with child, then you'll see that mother withdraw from the popularity of the world. She wants to get away because she's all out of shape. And she don't fit the vain janglings of the world. And the pretty dresses don't look good on her anymore. And she doesn't try to look pretty to be lustful anymore, because her passions is conquered to that extent. And the satisfaction of carrying the little one is there. And she withdraws. If she's got any common sense, she withdraws and she hides away. And she wants the attention of her husband, because she knows then that nobody is going to give her attention out there. So she wants his attention. And she draws away from that so that she can save the life of that little child. And in this case, it is our inheritance. And we have to come out of the world and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things and be careful, as the little story of Solomon and the two women and the one that smothered the baby to death. We brought it to you before. It means that we're going to have to protect the child, because if it comes to be a stillbirth and a false alarm, then we don't have an inheritance. So this is the thing that we're talking about tonight. To come to know. They have come to know. God didn't want them to know, because as long as they didn't know, it wasn't required of them. They had everything without knowing. But when they come to know, then they not only had this side as to know good, but they had this side to know evil. They already knew good, and yet they did not know good to the extent it had never been revealed to them, and had to be revealed to them by the contrast of bad, or darkness would reveal light so that they could see light. So the tree of life, they really didn't go to the tree of life, because they were blinded to it to the extent that it had never been revealed to them, and yet it was in the midst of the garden. But they had to conceive of God's Spirit. Oh, they had to go through this channel of darkness so that it would reveal the tree of life, because the tree of darkness over here of intellectual reasoning, that was a mirror of this, that it was reflecting that, because it was a spirit also, an angelic spirit called Lucifer and lust, while this was the angelic spirit of Christ that was called love. and life. So then, in reflecting that, they saw it. They went there. In that tree, they could see them on themselves and see the satisfaction of their desire as to that of vanity. And so it came to pass that that's what they accepted. But this wonderful tree of life, which is spirit and life, Jesus brought it Calvary. You don't see it today with your natural eyes. Adam and Eve had to get their eyes of understanding enlightened. It had to come through the process. And now at Calvary, our eyes are open. We understand. And now that we understand, we can comprehend the tree of life as to the heights, as to the depths, as to the width, as to the length of this great marvelous tree. And the same tree being on either side of the river, when we come to the celestial city, will be filled with the fruits of life, and the people will eat from it throughout eternity. So then, to know they have become as one of us, to know, brothers and sisters, what God is wanting is not ritualistic. He wants your death, and He wants your funeral, and He wants no more of you. And He has completely killed you because He despises your image. And He's looking for the Christ child on the inside. And if you don't conceive of that and you don't have that child, you don't have that spirit, you're none of His. You can go along and you will be blessed. You can go along and have good things because the rain is on the just and the unjust. The rain is on the tare as well as the wheat. But at the end of the way, when the harvest comes, you will be burned. The tares will be gathered and thrown into the fire. And only the nature as to the wheat will be gathered into the garners. So the Bible said that which is rejected is nigh unto cursing. So this means that you can go along with the charismatic way of life, and you can go along with the happy-go-lucky way of life. You can go along and let people call you cults because they are blind and cannot understand and shall never see this light. And you can pay attention to them. And if you do, you're going to wind up with them and find out that you never was the predestinated. So the Bible said, make your calling and election sure. Search these things out. Have a hunger and desire for God. Because all of this is given by foreknowledge as to election through what He foreknew that you would do when you heard me as a minister preach the gospel or the ministry or when the word came. And He wrote you up accordingly before you ever came into the world. It came to pass that He heard you before you were ever called. So then, while we were yet in our sins, He gave Jesus to die for us and saved us while we were yet in our sins. How much more does He love us and care for us now that we are out of our sin and having given His blood? How much more will He protect us from the evils of this world? So then, in these few little scattered remarks tonight, I say these things to you, that to know is your problem. To want to know, it's your problem. The just shall live by faith. Hear the word of God and say yea and amen. For I did not come to you as to teaching you some knowledge, as to say yea and nay, as they do in these institutions. But I come to you with the word of God from heaven that says, thus and thus saith the Lord. And you ought to say yea and amen, yea and amen, yea and amen. And not lean, not to one of your thoughts. Not one of your thoughts. But every thought must be brought into subjection to His knowledge and the word of yea and amen. And when you do that, you're led by the Spirit of God, and you're the sons of God, and you'll be like Abraham. You won't sit down and program your life. You won't sit down and make plans and blueprints. You won't talk it over with anybody about what you're going to do and where you're going to go and these kind of things because you don't know yourself. You'll be like Abraham. You'll sojourn in a strange land that you don't know where you're going, and you'll get out of the land of your kindred, which is your intellectual reasoning in the flesh. And you'll just journey wherever, and wherever you put your foot, He'll give it to you. And wherever He wants you to go, He is the life and the mind and the understanding of this body. And He will order every step, because the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And it will be God controlling His new body as to bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, in that Jesus became very God, ordained to the full measure, the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus, to the full reward. And as long as you don't do that, then you're still in error. All right, let's stand together. Just a little exhortation tonight to make you stop and think. If you can shoot holes in it, shoot holes in it. I expect you to do whatever you want to do. The elect will receive this. There's no problem with that. You cannot receive it if you're not elect, because it's not given you of God. And a man can only receive things that's given in the foreknowledge, whether it's salvation or whatever it be. Repentance won't do it. So Esau sought repentance with bitter tears. He never did find the birthright. It was gone and given to Jacob. So with this, what are we saying? I'm saying that whatever you want to do with it, here is Jesus, the Word. What will you do with Christ? When Pilate stood him before the people, he said, "Behold the man." What will you do with him? Here he is. Behold the man. What will you do with him? It's up to you. You know, whatever you want to do, that's your business. I'm just here as a helper of your faith, not a lord over God's heritage, only an example to the flock, a poor example at that, and trying to do what little I can to program and reprogram and remind you, though many of you know some of these things and you understand them, but the Bible said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as Peter had said in his day, I want to do what I can. I want to bring these things back to your mind. So when I come, I try to bring you a few fragmental things as the best I can, dealing with your carnal minds and your carnal way of life and your light-hearted activity of being so childish to where it's so difficult just to get in a few little things like tonight to you, and especially to make them in the manner of detailing them to where you'll be spiritual. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over. So I tell you to quit trying to give God that old carcass of yours as to the outer man. Kill him. Put your foot on his head. Stop your intellectual reasoning and plans. Take God in your heart. Develop as a little child, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby. Sojourn in this strange country, trusting God with every thought, and let God lead you and guide you into all the wonderful truths of God. The Bible said when Christ, His Spirit, has come, it'll testify of Him as the mighty Holy Ghost, and He will guide you into all truth and all righteousness. And if you be born to the Spirit, the Bible said, walk in the Spirit. And the child is known by his doings. So when we come to these things, you have opportunity. It's your great day of opportunity, and it's almost past now. It's just about gone now. Everything is fitting together, and it's just about time for the bodily change, which is the catching up of the Jews in the middle of Daniel's week. And at the first of the week, this has to happen to you and I, as to change the body to the spiritual, to bring in that week, which will bring the resurrection of the dead. And Paul in his revelation said, the casting away of the Jews, that's the reconciling of the world. And what will the receiving of the Jews be as pertaining to the bodily type, but the resurrection from the dead? So your body, consider it dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. The time is coming when it's going to go through the change as to the resurrection of the dead. But there's many things to be said, many things to understand in Christ. From faith to faith, these things are revealed. And there's no way that you can obtain unto them, for He hath hid them from you, who think that you are wise and prudent in this world, and not knowing God by your knowledge as to the world, He's called your understanding science, falsely so-called foolishness, and made this so high as to the heavens, and they can't obtain unto it with all of their learning. And though Satan uses generation after generation to search it out so that he can get to this, he will never come to it. But it is revealed to babes, and it is given to you as the precious children of light. The others cannot receive it because of their intellectual darkness, of their ambitions and conceit will always drive them, no matter what, religiously or otherwise, to do what they want to do. And being void of His Spirit, they are void of His understanding. But the Spirit of the Lord upon you will make you of a quick understanding. And the people will be afraid of you because you are of a quick understanding. And you will understand all of these things because you have an unction from the Holy One that you should know all things. And the others will be in will worship. But you'll have an unction to worship God and a drive and a thrill to worship God. The rest, it doesn't matter what they do, though they be musicians, though they be preachers, though they be deacons, though they be evangelists, pastors, though they be laity, they don't have the unction. All they have is a will worship, and they will themselves to come to church, and they will themselves to carry on their talents, and will themselves to do whatever they will by their own intellectual. But you are the holy seed of God, and there's something on the inside of you like fire shut up in your bones and in your bosom, and it cries out all the time to take you to the house of God and to take you where God wants you and to order your steps right and to lead you day by day. Inasmuch as your steps as to the righteous man, they're ordered by the Lord. And if you fall as much as 7 times, you'll get back up. All these people that come in among you and then they leave and they go their way, don't fret because of them. The Bible said if they'd have been of you, they'd have stayed with you. But they went out from you that it might be made manifest they were not of you. And though some stay with you, they are not with you. They've still gone out from you in their minds and their ways and their desires and their ambition. They will never be with you. Occasionally, I meet somebody and I talk with them and I tell them, though they've been with me for a long time, all of a sudden they'll put themselves forward and they'll want me to know how much they're with me. And I have to come and tell them. And I'll say, I'm sorry, you are not with me. You have never been with me. And you never will be with me because they're not in the Spirit of Christ. So then they go their way. But there are some of you that are with me and some of you that were interwoven as oneness in the Spirit. And you are with God and I'm with God and we're one Spirit and one body, one mind, one membership. That's why that you try to stay so close to the pastor and so close to the shepherd. You're his sheep. And he has to present you to God. And that's why that you stay so close to him, because you perceive God's Spirit in him is your protection. And you perceive that he's there to remit your sins, retain your sins, to bless you or curse you. You believe that. The others don't. They believe they can do their own blessing and cursing, that they have that power. See, so they do their own thing. But you stay in there close because you feel that that's where your safety is. And there's something in you that makes you want to be one with the Spirit of the pastor. See, because you're one Spirit. And you want to do the same thing that he does and be part of what he's doing, because you know that's God and God is one in one mind. And you have that same mind as the day of Pentecost, as to the first church, even down to the end, as to the last part of that church. One mind and one accord. And only they that are to be saved are added to the church daily. Not as to enumerate or go out and collect people to try to fill up the church, but let God add to the church daily such as shall be saved. We should go out into all the world and carry the gospel to every creature. But when it comes to church, let God add unto the church such as should be saved. And if it's the church here, they shall be the same. If it's a church across the hill in another state, they will be one with you in the Spirit. And they'll have the same vision and the same mind to do the same thing. And they'll be contacting you as soon as they find out that you're a real child of God, if they are a real child of God. And the others will not. They will go on with their programs and plans. And many of them will be vomit on God's table, lukewarm and doing their own thing and their own intellectual, because they're not dead and all of their drive is for their personality and body and their prestige and what they want to be in life. But beloved friend, it's not so with you and I. This is the body of the Lord Jesus. We must be about our Father's business and only his desire is in our heart to the yea and amen. So while we sing a little chorus or two, let's search ourselves, examine ourselves, and see if we be in this one Spirit. See if we have been baptized into Christ and have this one body. See if when we come before Christ that we will have this one body of this garment that's been tried in the fire, and that we have this wonderful robe of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has no spots and no blemishes. Check it out and see. And if it is God, everything will work out. If it isn't God, then it won't work out. So then let's sing another little chorus together tonight as we give an altar call. You're welcome to come. If you never made the commitment unto God, you can make the commitment tonight. Paul said, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that great day. All right, let's sing a little chorus together. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. I love him. I love him. Oh, because that he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary. Let's sing this little chorus together. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. For how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. Then the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. In the middle, come on. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. We'll wear a bright tan shirt. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Let's sing it one more time. Wear the crown. You can wear the crown. You can wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, you can wear the crown in the New Jerusalem. Wear the crown. We'll wear the crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. One more time. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear a crown. I'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. Let's just lift our hands up and sing this little chorus together. Ain't sing this in a good little while, but let's sing it together tonight, can we? Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Love everybody. Love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. And it will take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven. Take us all to heaven. Good enough for me. So give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Can you sing it again? Oh, give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Goody, one more time. I've got that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Good enough for me. You'd better get the old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Oh, it's good enough for me. I want that old time religion. Old time religion. And it's one more time. Got that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. I want that old time religion. I want that old time religion. I want the old time religion. One more time with me. We've got that old time religion. Got that old time religion. Have you really got it? Give him a wave offering if you got it. We've got the old time religion. You believe that? Somebody say hallelujah. Time religion, and it's good enough for me. Let's just lift our hands together. Praise the Lord tonight. It's so good to have you here tonight to love the Lord. I really believe you have got the old time religion. And really that's the only kind that's going to do, folks. Maybe we'll sing this little song together. Maybe in the way of a dismissal tonight. Give me another key, Frank.
I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. want to smooth out. I wonder if David Paul is here tonight. If he is, I sure would like him to come down. For those that are behind, I keep working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind. I want to smooth out the road, heaven above, make it easy. Are you working the roads to glory, working the roads to glory, helping the weak and the blind? I want to smooth out the roads that lead to heaven above, make it easy. Once again, hallelujah.